Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
We are looking at the Father of Love in the series. It's going to be a few weeks long. Not sure how long it's going to be, but the Father of Love is what we're going to look at this morning. And subtitled to that is just experiencing the Father heart of God. That is what the series is going to be about. And each one of us, all of us, can grow more in understanding the Father heart of God, right? Some of you have, seem like you've arrived already. No, you'll never arrive to come to know the full knowledge, the full revelation of the Father heart of God. And as we're going to get to the dig through the scriptures this morning, just allow the Holy Spirit to show you different aspects, different dimensions of God's love for you. Because it's really something special. And it's really by love that we were created for love. And also to go out into the world and to share that love. Because it's that love of God that really transforms nations. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." In Romans 1 verse 16. "For it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel of Jesus Christ is the demonstration of God's love for us. When Jesus was sent, before we could deserve anything, God sent Jesus, and that was the demonstration of love. That is the gospel, and that is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, the sozo life, healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness. It's in the love of God that we get to experience all of those things, and it's in the love of God that we need to take that into the world and have the world experience the sozo life. Amen? So we are looking at that this morning, and specifically the Father's kind of love. We're going to start off, and that's the title of today's message, The Father's Kind of Love. Now, when we hear words, don't be distracted by those lovely toddlers making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. If you want to shout out amen or hallelujah, just to kind of partake in their noise on that side, let's have a competition this morning, seeing who can make the most noise. While not being distracted. Amen. So when we hear different kinds of words, for example, the Father's kind of love, we kind of get pictures of words. We don't see Father, F-A-T-H-E-R. We see an image, maybe your biological father, maybe your father on earth, or maybe you kind of see a big guy, old guy, gray hair, gray long beard, whatever it may be. When we're hearing words, we're getting pictures of something. Now, we need to make sure when we hear these words, the Father's kind of love, we're having a correct picture of God lining up with His Word. That goes for any picture we have, whether it is marriage, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances. Let's have a picture of what God desires for us to have with regards to those different areas of our lives. Because when we adopt the picture that God has got for us from His Word, that is when we are going to start experiencing abundance, as Jesus declared in John 10:10. That is when we're going to start experiencing the Jeremiah 29 verse 11 in our lives. An expectant future, abundance, overflowing. My cup doesn't just kind of get half full. I'm not an optimist. I don't see my cup half full. I'm a psalmist. I see my cup overflowing. Amen? Amen. David declares that my cup runs over. That is what we are. We are not just optimists, but we are psalmists. So I want to ask you a question. Who of you grew up in, just by show of hands, if you don't want to show your hands, you're welcome to just sit there and look like a robot. I'm joking. Please participate. Look alive. Wake up. If someone next to you is falling asleep, just give them a nudge. So who of you here grew up having a healthy understanding of the Father of love, a Father of love and grace, seeing God as this amazing Father, full of grace, full of truth, and full of love? Who of you grew up with a healthy understanding of that type of God? Great stuff. So I'm preaching to the right audience. I think there's no human being that just grew up. And maybe some people have done a really good job. Maybe some parents have done a really good job to showing the Father heart of God and showing the Father of grace and truth. But I'm sure if no one raised their hand to that question, then I'm sure everyone would raise their hand to the next question. Who of you grew up having a picture of an angry God, a God full of judgment, a God full of condemnation, and maybe even a God of schizophrenia? Where one day it's like, amazing, God is full of love. And then the next day you're like, oh, the weather is looking bad, so God must be angry today because of my sin, because of whatever. Maybe God is preventing the heavens from bringing water down to earth because of people's sin. Maybe you've heard some preachers preach that message, portraying this God of schizophrenia. One day is amazing, is good. When we are doing good, then God is good. When we are doing evil, then God is evil. We don't say it like that, but that is basically what some people are proclaiming in this world. Some preachers, some people that call themselves Christians. Now, I'm not condemning them, but God said that we need to judge righteously. Judge according to His Word. Judge by truth. God is a perfect judge. He is a holy God, full of grace and truth. Just because we are declaring the truth doesn't mean we're condemning other people. But we need to come to the knowledge of the truth, because it's in that truth that we know that we are set free. John chapter 8 verse 32. So whatever our view of God is will determine how we do relationship with Him, and also how we will do relationship with other people. If you're seeing God as this angry God, judgmental, then that's the type of Christian you'll be. Because like father, like son, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So whatever your view of God is will determine how you will react to other people and treat other people. Now, some of you have had this picture of God painted either by your parents, maybe by past experiences. That's a horrible way to paint the view of God, or have this picture of God. Past experiences. Determining who God is by your past experiences. How silly is that? We can't put God in a box. There's no way. God, the creator of the universe, He just thought one day, hey, light be. Boom. Everything that we see today was spoken into existence by the Word of God. And then we try and put this God of immense glory, magnitude, we try and put Him in a box based on our past experiences. Maybe some movies have painted a picture of who God is for you. The movie Noah, I don't know if you saw that, but that was a horrible movie. Such a bad illustration, a picture of who God is. Maybe the internet has painted a picture of who God is for you. Maybe some role models, some celebrity role models, soccer stars or whatever, movie stars who call themselves Christians, and then you kind of get this view of who God is. And then Gandhi said this, I like your Jesus, but I don't like His followers. And we don't want to be people who go and look at human beings and paint a picture of who God is by human beings' actions, right? Because who of you is perfect? Who's perfect? No. No one's perfect. I'm glad no one raised their hand. In Christ, we looked at spirit, soul, and body a few weeks ago. We looked at that amazing teaching just on our composition, how we wired, how we were created. In our spirits, yes, we are perfect. We are like Christ. We are holy and righteous. But in our actions, we are still growing into identities and knowing who we are and bearing the fruit of Christ. So we can't look at human beings. You can't look at me as the pastor of this church and think that I'm going to perfectly represent God the Father. As I'm growing and as I'm also discovering more of who I am and who God is to me and who He is as my Father, I'm going to live more and more like Christ. But we are all growing to that place. So we need to be patient with one another and always go to God's Word to get a healthy understanding of who He is. The only way we can truly know anything about God is through the Bible. Everybody on earth has an opinion of what God is like and what He will do. But the only thing He gave us to know Him, and the only source that is truly reliable, is His written Word. His written Word is the only thing that we can go and see, this is God. This is how He's going to treat me. This is His promises for my life. This is His character. This is His nature. We need to get a full 360-degree view of God. And this is only possible by taking the whole Word into consideration, taking the whole Word into context, and having Jesus as the center point, the cornerstone of our faith. Jesus is playing the lead role. Imagine this for a moment. Watching the movie Spider-Man, you're watching and it's like, you're getting into it and there's like, after an hour or so, you're like, but where's Spider-Man? Like, I heard this was about Spider-Man, but I don't see any Spider-Man. You're watching the movie Thor, Superman, Iron Man, whatever it may be, and the lead character's not in the movie. How average will that be? How frustrating and confusing will that be? If we don't see Jesus through the Bible, through everything that we're reading, we need to interpret the Word of God through the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the lead role. He has always been the lead role. He's been from the beginning. So maybe the Bible has become very average to you. Maybe it's become stale to you. It's probably because you're not reading it through, seeing the lead role, the lead character represented throughout the Scripture. It's vital for us to see Jesus as the perfect representative of God's nature. Let's go to John chapter 1. Now, that was just the introduction. Nice, here we go. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 1 and then just jump down to verse 14. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So yeah, it's talking about Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, and God spoke the world into existence. And then when Jesus came to the scene, it's this declaration of the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh for us to represent the perfect will of the Father. And it says, full of grace and truth. When we get a picture of God, it needs to be a picture of grace and truth. And also a picture of love. 1 John 4 verse 8, God is love. And Hebrews 4 16 says that when we come to His throne room, we're going to experience grace and mercy. So if our pictures of God does not entail those words, love, grace, mercy, truth, then it's a wrong picture of who God is. We need to see and paint and rediscover what does God's Word say about His nature and His character. We need to stop and throw out all of those old opinions that we have of God. Those pictures that we have of God, just because some preacher said X, Y, and Z. Does that X, Y, and Z line up with the perfect, unchangeable Word of God? Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3 goes on and it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers of the prophets." Now, make a mental note of this. God spoke in diverse manners by the fathers and the prophets. We'll get back to that in a moment, a little bit later. And it says, "And as in these last days spoken unto us by His Son," say by His Son, "whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." That is awesome. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Now, as you are seated here this morning, you are representing a picture of rest. Some of you are resting, going into deep sleep, and that's fine. Enjoy your rest. Amen. But seated is a picture of rest. Jesus is seated because His work is finished. Hence, the great last words of Jesus on the cross, "It is finished." Jesus came to accomplish what He came to do. He fulfilled what He came to do. So we need to remember that. So when you're ever thinking, "Oh, I need to labor to kind of just get more righteous or get more holy. I need to kind of do this to be more acceptable by God." You are actually saying, "Jesus, I appreciate what You did, but I think the Hebrew definition of 'it is finished' means that it is 50% done and I need to do the other 50%. That is actually what you're saying. "Jesus, thanks, but I can bring something to this party. You brought the steak. I'm going to bring the peppermint crisp tart. I'm just going to fulfill this party, because a party is nothing without dessert, right? That's why we've got marshmallows as well after the service." No, Jesus did a perfect work for us. That is why He's seated. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. If you want to see the perfect nature of God for you, towards you, His promises, we need to look at the Son, Jesus. We need to look at God's heart for us through His Son. And this word "express image" in the Greek, it's the word "character," where we obviously get "character" from. They probably pronounce it a little bit differently than that. But this word "character" is a picture of a graver or an engraving. So Jesus was this perfect engraving, like you would engrave a metal piece of a plate or maybe a kind of a stone engraving something into that. It says that Jesus was this express engraving, this perfect picture, exact copy of God the Father. What an awesome picture. How many of us have looked to Jesus and said, like, wow, God, you are awesome. Your heart for me is amazing. Who have you seen Jesus ever in the Bible? Someone coming to Him, asking for healing. Jesus says, it's not your time today. Go and fast for 2 weeks. Pray to God. Ask Him if it is His will. Because I'm not sure if today is the day that it is the will of God to heal you. Who have you seen that scripture in the Bible? That passage in the Bible? Yet we come to paint a picture of who God is and His will for our lives by just what people have said, by a Facebook post. Just taking things that the world has thrown out there about God as absolute truths. Because we do not know the Word of God, which is His will for our lives, which is the representation of Jesus as He became the Word to us. Hosea 4 verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Are you living in defeat today? Are you living at a place of just not getting by, just not making it through? Living week in by week, just living and surviving, just getting through? That is not God's will for your life. Maybe you are living in that place because you do not know who God the Father is. He's not the Godfather, by the way. He's God the Father. It's a few words, change them around, and it is horrible results for you. There will be no results in your life when you see God as the Godfather, not God the Father. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to finish off with this chapter 13. And a lot of you have heard about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You've heard it maybe. We minister this a lot at our weddings and the marriages that we conduct at Grace Life. But this passage of Scripture is really amazing. And as we get into it, just open up your heart, because this is what Paul declared. This is the love of God. The word love here is talking about the charity. And the word charity and love has really been diluted in our society. Even charity, like when we hear charity, we think about like a non-profit organization doing good work. And when we hear about the love of, or just love in general, it's like, wow, I love this piece of cake. I've said that before, eh? Who said those words? I uttered those words before. Wow, this cake. I love this piece of cake. I love this coffee. That coffee shop, I love that coffee shop. So the word love has lost its true meaning and it's lost its true power as God created it to be. This charis, this agape love of God. So this scripture, in this passage, Paul is referring to specifically this love of God. And in this whole chapter, we can't even get the full picture of the love of God because you can't put the love of God in a box. There's no beginning nor an end. As far as the east is from the west, that is immeasurable. So far as God removed our sins and our transgressions from us, that is the love of God. It's immeasurable. So as we look at these scriptures, we get these pictures and we're going to get different views of God and it's going to paint this beautiful image. But we need to realize this is only the tip of the mountain, of the iceberg. So throughout the series, Father of love, we're going to just continually just hammer on this love that we need to grow in and get to an understanding, because these aren't just words. Like we said, Hebrews 4 says that God's word is alive and it's active. And even though you've heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 500 times, it's not enough. It needs to go deeper. We need to go deeper. Dig deeper into God's love for us. So let's jump right in. Verse 13, I'm going to read from verse 1. And it says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me. So I just want to pause. As we're going to read this, I'm not going to read all of it and then get back to it. I'm just going to kind of just minister as we're going through the scriptures, just verse by verse. And it says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So this is talking about the gift of tongues. There's the tongues of angels declaring the perfect wonders of God, praying in the Spirit. And then there's that same gift that is uttered in a way where it's manifest as a gift that is a language of another country or of another origin. We see the gift of tongues in this specific reference when on the day of Pentecost, when the different people of different nationalities came together, they prayed in tongues and the different people understood one another, even though it was not in a specific language, or it was not their language, the people that were speaking these things. So these are two different things, and these are two gifts of the Spirit of God. Now, Paul is making a point here, and we're going to see what the build-up is. So these are amazing gifts, the gift of tongues of men and of angels. But it says, but if they speak in this, but have not love, and this love, like I said, this is the agape love of God, this is the charis, the charity love of God, and it says, but the Amplified paints this picture, and it says, for others growing, having this love, for others growing out of God's love for me. A lot of Christians and a lot of churches and a lot of doctrines have made it about our love for God. Who have you failed in loving God? Some of you need to get born again and start speaking the truth. I've failed. I've made mistakes in loving God. In declaring, I'll do everything for you, Lord. If you just come through for me for this, in this moment, a week later, God came through and you just forgot about that promise. I know none of you have gone through that. I've gone through that. I'm going to be honest here. We need to stop making about our love for God, our amazing promise and declaration to God, and we need to make it about God's declaration to us, His sons and His daughters, the gift that was portrayed and demonstrated so extravagantly. When we were still sinners, God died for us through His Son, Jesus. Love for others, growing out of God's love for me. Then I have become only as a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Who have you seen believers? They're working and they're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of tongues, the gifts of tongues of men, or maybe any other gifts, gifts of healings, miracles, some amazing gifts. And there's no love involved in that. And it's just this distraction, it's just this noise. You can't bless people that you are trying to impress. You can't bless those you're trying to impress. Impressing people is not about love. Even when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. In Bible school, we're doing now the fruit of the Spirit. And it's awesome in the introduction, in this, the starting message and lesson of the gifts, or the fruit of the Spirit, the teacher proclaims that all of us want to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Healings, miracles, the gift of faith, speaking in tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, wisdom, and so forth. But the gift of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit is going to be short-lived. We need to bear the fruit of the Spirit while we're operating in the gifts. Otherwise, people are going to see and look at Christians and just think we are crazy. Yes, that was a miracle, but look how impatient that person is. Look how unloving and unkind that person is. The fruit of the Spirit is nine. The gift of the Spirit is nine. There's no coincidence to that. They need to be operated and used in balance. So a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Verse 2, and if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains. Those are some amazing things, right? The gift of prophecy, speaking words from God to someone. Faith that moves mountains. That is powerful. Some of us have desired and have operated maybe in mountain-moving faith. Or we desire to operate in mountain-moving faith. But what does Paul again say here? But do not have love. Reaching out to others. I am nothing. Nothing means nothing. It means a zero. A zero with its rim knocked off, as Andrew says. Nothing. It doesn't matter how amazing works and wonders that you proclaim and what you do, if it's done out of a place of obligation or just trying to please someone or trying to look good, your ego being puffed up, it means nothing. it will be short-lived. Verse 3, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. That is powerful. We've heard, and there's some amazing people in history that have done amazing things, given up everything for the poor and to kind of live this holy life and look good and all of that. But if that is done out of a place of not knowing God's love for you, if the motivation is not love, if the motivation is just to kind of look cool, because the new cool is sow towards a charity. The new cool is to be a blessing, to give. That is something that the world does really well. I don't know if you've noticed. But what is your motivation for doing that? If your motivation is to get something or to feel good about yourself, because scientifically, in your brain and biologically, when you give, when you partake in something else, it does do something to your body, to your brain. It sets off different things, different chemicals that make you feel good. But who of you know that that is not why we do those things? If that is why you're doing those things, you are doing it self-centeredly. And it will do you no good. That's not my words. It's God's word. Paul had a pretty good revelation of who God was and his life for him. So if Paul says something, I'm going to believe it. And his words were also inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between knowing something and having revelation of it. The scripture specifically is saying, if we do not have the love of God, you do these amazing things, but if you do not have the love of God, knowing about the love of God is one thing. Having the love of God transform your heart, giving you a heart of flesh, replacing your heart of stone with flesh. That is what the word is talking about. We need to know the love of God. Doing good and changing the world shouldn't be our ultimate goal in life. I'm going to say that again because that is maybe some of your goals in life. Doing good and changing the world shouldn't be our ultimate goal in life. Amen or oh me. Discovering who we are and growing in God's love for us should be the ultimate goal in life. Discovering who we are and growing in God's love for us should be the ultimate goal in life. And that is a continual thing. We never graduate from that school. And when we do that, when that becomes our goal, when that becomes our purpose, discovering who we are, discovering God's love for us, that is when we are going to start bearing this fruit effortlessly. Fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be manifest through our lives unselfishly. We need to major on God's kind of love. Verse 4 carries on, and this is what we've all heard so many times. Now, I want to encourage you, as we look at these scriptures again, a lot of people have made these scriptures about, I need to love like this. I need to love like this. I need to show compassion like this. I need to do it like this. Forget about that. This is God's love letter towards you. These words are for you to experience, for you to touch and to feel the love of God through these scriptures. This is God's words to you. This is not what you need to go and do. Stop making it about what you need to do with the Word of God. Experience the Word of God for yourself, His love and compassion towards you. And by default, as the scripture says, my laws will be planted, written upon your hearts. When we experience the love of God, to life with Him, relationship with Him, we will fulfill the law on accident more than we've ever tried to do it on purpose. Live holy, live righteously, live selflessly, by just looking at God's love for us. So these are God's words for you. Receive them, be blessed by them, take them, write them on your hearts. Paul says, love, God's type of love, endures with patience and serenity. Endures. Who of you know what endurance is about? Just yesterday, a guy ran the marathon under 2 hours, hour 59, something, something, something. He endured. That was endurance. That is crazy endurance. Love endures. God endures for us, towards us. His love for us is enduring. It continues. It doesn't give up. That guy could have given up. He could have quit. But God's type of love endures with patience and serenity. God is patient with us. I know He's patient with me. And so often we can't be patient with other people. And I'm guilty of that as well. Why is that? It's good measuring to look at, this is God's love for me. If I'm not demonstrating that to other people, I'm not going to feel condemned, because Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen. But I'm going to ask myself, why is this? And I come back to the drawing board and say, like, Father, reveal to me and show to me more of your patience towards me, your love for me, and help me be like you more and more. It's through us discovering who we are and who God created us to be that we'll live out His nature and His character. Because we were created in His image and in His likeness. So that is what we can do. Love is kind. God's love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. God thinks about you. What amazing thought is that? God thinks about you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Having an expectant future, an expectant end. Not bad thoughts, not harmful thoughts towards us, but thoughts of peace. Good thoughts. Jealous. It's not jealous or envious. His love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. That's talking about the ego, the self again, motivated by self. Doing things for selfish reasons. Doing things just because someone sees me. I'm going to help that guy. Oh no, Pastor 18 is there. I need to now not talk like that anymore. Oh, there's Pastor 18. Where's someone? Like, I hope there's someone coming along with a need. I just want to be seen. Picking up papers, whatever, small things. We've been wired and we've been kind of taught growing up that if you aren't seen doing good, you won't get rewarded. We live in a reward society. You do good, you get good. And if you do good and no one sees, you're not going to get rewarded. That is logic. We kind of see it like that and we kind of see that in the world. But who of you know, if you do not know this yet, then surprise, God knows all things. Some of you are sitting here like, last night, God knows all things. Oh, awkward. God knows all things. And that's not a condemning or fearful thought. But it's knowing when I do something, when I do a random act of kindness, just because God's love for me, God is cheering me on. He says, well done, my son. That delights God's heart. And we don't do it because we want to get cheering on and approval from God. We are approved by God. But when we act like the sons of God that we were created to be, that makes God happy. He delights in those things. Just like He doesn't delight in horrible things happening in this world and people murdering, committing adultery. Just like He doesn't delight in those things. If you know that is not things that God delights in. Just like He doesn't delight in those things, He delights in the good we do. Being faithful. Being compassionate. Some people have gone so crazy in grace circles that they say, like, oh no, God loves everyone and He's proud of everyone. And yes, there's a truth to God loving and having forgiven everyone of their sins. But it breaks His heart when people are hurting one another. It's silly and crazy to say that, oh no, God's love is too great for Him to get hurt by things like that. It hurts Him. And in that same light, when He sees His sons and His daughters, we read the scripture this morning, Romans chapter 8. The world, the nature is waiting expectantly for the sons of God to be revealed, to stand up and to shine their lights. That is what God desires for us, to live in His image and His likeness and do the same works as Jesus and even greater works than theirs. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. Remember, this is God's love for you. Before you try and do these things and kind of think like, okay, cool, how am I going to be more like this? Or how am I going to be more like that? Stop thinking like that. Experience these words from God to you. He's not overly sensitive and easily angered. He does not take into account a wrong endured. How amazing is that? Hebrews 10 verse 17. And your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Do you have that picture of God? Do you have that view of God? Where there's no black book? Where He's recording your sins and your iniquities? That is a picture and a view of God that we need to have. No longer remembering our sins and our iniquities. Not taking into account. This is the God type of love for us. And when you experience this, then you can apply this in your marriage. And man, oh man, are you going to have a good marriage. When you apply God's type of love for you towards your spouse, not keeping records of wrongs. Verse 6, it does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Now this is awesome. Believes all things, looking for the best, believing the best in people. That's difficult sometimes, right? Believing the best in someone after they failed you. After they disappointed you. Time and time again. Again, we've disappointed some people. We've disappointed God. We failed God at times. But still, He's looking for the best. When you look for gold, guess what you'll find? You'll find gold. When you're looking for dirt, guess what you'll find? You'll find dirt. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you're seeking for in people, that is what you'll find. That is profound. Start seeing the good in people. And I'm not saying being naive. If someone's got a problem, we need to deal with that problem. And there's some legal things that maybe sometimes need to be taken. But we need to look for the best in people. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16 talks about this. And it builds up and it says that we no longer regard one another after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Man, people's got a potential. Every one of us got so much potential. We need to see the gold in people and stop seeing the dirt in people. Then verse 8, love never fails. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. Now this is powerful because a lot of times we're going to get tired of loving people, of forgiving people, of being patient with people. Then we just need to realize, go back to these scriptures and realize, man, this is God for me. He's shown this to me time and time again. Shown me passion. Show me patience, kindness. Thank you, Jesus. By your grace, I've been empowered to do the same works as you and even greater works. A lot of times we want to apply that scripture, John 14 verse 12, and we want to apply it to these amazing miracles, signs, wonders. And we forget about the fruit of the Spirit. We want to do healings and miracles. But some of the greatest works that Jesus ever did was show people passion that didn't, compassion that didn't deserve it. Show people love that didn't deserve it. Showed you and me love who didn't deserve it. So we can do that because Jesus said we can do the same works as Him and even greater works than those. Love never fails. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gifts of special knowledge, it will pass away. Now before, some of you thinking like, oh well, there that goes. Some ministers, some teachers have made this doctrine and theology about, see, that's why there's no longer prophecies and there's no longer gifts of healing and all of the gifts of the Spirit, they've passed away. Because clearly, yeah, it's in the Bible. No, let's continue reading. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. So whenever there's a prophecy, a word of knowledge given, it is given in part. We don't have the full picture. It is a word of knowledge. It's a word of prophecy. And with that one word, it is interpreted in different settings. And we as human beings are growing in our knowledge and understanding, receiving the perfect wisdom of God, and then communicating it. So it happens in part. So we need to realize it happens in part. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, talking about Jesus, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. So these will only pass away when that which is complete has come back again, Jesus. So again, context. Paul is putting things in context, and he's also describing these things. Love being the center, being the cornerstone to this passage. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. That is powerful. These amazing things, the gifts of the Spirit, at some point, at some time, they're going to just be seen as childish things. Why is that? Because in heaven, we're going to see the full glory of God, perfect. We're no longer going to see people sick, people needing, people wanting. So then talking about healing in heaven is just going to be a non-topic. Because everyone will be healthy. Everyone will be wealthy. Everything will be perfect. So this is what Paul is describing. Verse 12. For now in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Talking about Jesus, seeing Him face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. This is powerful. The purpose of these gifts mentioned here in this passage of Scripture is all to direct us to the love of God. Whenever you are ministering in one of the gifts of the Spirit and it's not pointing someone to the love of God, you are missing it. You are not operating in the gifts of the Spirit. In some spirit, but not the gift of this Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is there to show us, to point us to Jesus, to show His love for us. A gift of prophecy, it's this amazing picture of you kind of on this journey. Imagine yourself traveling to Johannesburg, you're on there in one. Is that a word for someone? Traveling to Johannesburg, and every now and then you get road signs and it shows you 200 kilometers Beaufort West or 300 kilometers Kimberley or Three Sisters, whatever direction you're going, Bloemfontein. It's giving you road signs. It's encouraging that it's the next town is coming up. A word of prophecy is an encouragement that you're on the right track and you're going in that direction. You're following on the things that God has called you to do. So the gift of the Spirit, I'm just kind of making this point again, it needs to show us and direct us on this journey of love and experiencing the love of the Father. Then it closes off. So Paul is talking about all of these things, and there will be a time when none of the gifts of the Spirit are needed anymore. But that time is not now. That time was not then when Paul penned these words. Because we're still growing and understanding and experiencing the full love of God, the full picture of what Jesus came to do for us and do for us and through us. Verse 13, and he wraps this up for us beautifully. And now there remains, say remain.
Amen.
There remains faith, abiding trust in God and His promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. This is awesome. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest graces. And then Paul elevates love above faith and hope because faith works by love. And hope, we can only have a hope because of the love of God for us. So all of these things hang on the power of love. All of these things are demonstrating a need to point us to the love of God, the love of our Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about this beautiful picture, this new revelation, this new kind of image that we need to paint of God's love for us. The Father kind of love. The world and society is continually, and until Jesus comes back again, we continually can have these words, these things, even on Facebook, like I said, some churches and some ministers, they kind of throw these things out on Facebook that is completely contradicting what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. So we need to know the Word of God, Jesus, so that we don't get distorted images of the nature of God. As Paul encouraged Timothy, closing with this scripture, 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, I'm encouraging all of us, thou therefore, my son, or my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong, stand strong on the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.